Reacher felt the car stop and start, stop and start. Above him, the money bag rolled one way and then the other.
You serious that this could be just one guy? Burke asked.
Minimum of one.
Everything's a minimum of one.
Therefore, it's possible.
Therefore, we should take him down. Make him talk, solve the whole problem right there.
But suppose it's not just one guy.
Maybe we should gamble.
What were you back in the day?
Delta, Burke said.
Did you know Lane in the service?
I'd known him forever.
How would you have done the thing outside Bloomingdale's?
Quick and dirty inside the car, as soon as Taylor stopped.
That's what Groom said.
He was a smart guy, for a jawhead. You disagree with him?
No.
It'd be the only way. This isn't Mexico City or Bogota or Rio de Janeiro. This is New York. You couldn't survive a fuss on the sidewalk. You got 8 beat cops right there, 2 on each corner, armed and dangerous, worried about terrorists. No, quick and dirty inside the car would be the only way at Bloomingdale's.
But why would you have been at Bloomingdale's at all?
It's an obvious place. It's Mrs. Lane's favorite store. She gets all her stuff there. She loves that big brown bag.
But who would have known that? Burke was quiet for a spell.
That's a very good question.
Then the phone rang. Chapter 15. The ringtone sounded weird, coming in over 10 high-quality automobile speakers. It filled the whole car. It sounded very loud and rich and full and precise. The cellular network's harsh electronic edge was taken right off it. It purred.
Shut up now, Burke said.
He leaned to his right and hit a button on the Samsung.
Hello?
Good evening,
a voice said back, so slowly and carefully and mechanically that it made 4 separate words out of 2. It was a hell of a voice. It was completely amazing. It was so heavily processed that there would be no chance of recognizing it again without the electronic machine. The machines were commercial items sold in spy stores. Reacher had seen them. They clamped over the telephone mouthpiece. On one side was a microphone which was backed by circuit boards, and then came a small, crude loudspeaker, battery-powered. There were rotary dials that shaped the sound, 0 to 10 for various different parameters. The dials on this machine must have been cranked all the way to 11. The high frequencies were entirely missing. The low tones had been scooped out and turned around and reconstituted. They boomed and thumped like an irregular heartbeat. There was a phase effect that hissed and roared on every drawn breath and made the voice sound like it was hurtling through outer space. There was a metallic pulse that came and went. It sounded like a sheet of heavy steel being hit with a hammer. The volume was set very high. Over the BMW's 10 speakers, the voice sounded huge and alien, gigantic, like a direct connection to a nightmare.
Who am I speaking with?
The driver, Burke said, the guy with the money.
I want your name.
My name's Burke.
Who's that in the car with you?
There's nobody in the car with me. I'm all alone.
Are you lying?
No, I'm not lying.
Reacher figured there might be a lie detector hooked up to the other end of the phone. Probably a simple device sold in the same kind of spy stores as the distortion machines. Plastic boxes, green lights and red lights. They were supposed to be able to detect the kind of voice stress that comes with lying. Reacher replayed Burke's answers in his head and figured they would pass muster. It would be a crude machine, and Delta soldiers were taught to beat better tests than a person could buy retail on Madison Avenue. And after a second, it was clear that the box had indeed lit up green, because the nightmare voice just went ahead calmly and asked,
Where are you now, Mr. Burke?
57th Street. I'm heading west. I'm about to get on the West Side Highway.
You're a long way from where I want you.
Who are you?
You know who I am.
Where do you want me?
Take the highway, if that's what you prefer. Go south.
Give me time. Traffic is real bad.
Worried.
How would you feel?
Stay on the line.
The sound of distorted breathing filled the car. It was slow and deep. Unworried, Reacher thought. A patient person, in control, in command, safe somewhere. He felt the car sprint and hook left. Onto the highway through a yellow light, he thought. Take care, Burke. A traffic stop could be real awkward tonight.
I'm on the highway now, heading south.
Keep going.
Then the voice lapsed back to breathing. There was an audio compressor somewhere in the chain, either in the voice machine itself or in the BMW's stereo. The breathing started out quiet and then ramped up slowly until it was roaring in Reacher's ears. The whole car was filled with it. It felt like being inside a lung. Then the breathing stopped and the voice asked,
"How's the traffic?"
"Lots of red lights."
"Keep going."
Reacher tried to follow the route in his head. He knew there were plenty of lights between 57th Street and 34th Street. The passenger ship terminal, the Intrepid, the Lincoln Tunnel approaches.
"I'm at 42nd Street now."
Reacher thought, "Are you talking to me or the voice?"
"Keep going."
"Is Mrs. Lane okay?"
"She's fine."
"Can I talk to her?"
"No."
"Is Jade okay too?"
"Don't worry about either one of them. Just keep on driving."
American, Reacher thought, for sure. Behind the wall of distortion, he could hear the inflections of a native speaker. Reacher had heard more than his share of foreign accents, but this wasn't one of them.
"I'm at a Javis now."
"Just keep going."
Young, Reacher thought, or at least not old. All the dirt and grit in the voice came from the electronic circuitry, not from the effects of age. Not a big guy, Reacher thought. The booming bass was artificial. There was a speed and a lightness there, no big chest cavity. Or maybe a fat guy. Maybe one of those fat guys who have high-pitched voices.
"How much farther?"
"You low on gas?"
"No."
"So what do you care?"
The breathing came back, slow and steady. Not close yet, Reacher thought.
"Coming up on 24th Street."
"Keep going."
The village, Reacher thought. "We're going back to Greenwich Village." The car was moving faster now. Most of the left turns into the West Village were blocked off, so there were fewer lights. And most of the traffic would be going north, not south. A clear run, relatively speaking. Reacher craned his neck and got an angle through the rear side window. He could see buildings with the evening sun reflected in their windows. They flashed past in a dizzy kaleidoscope.
"Where are you now?"
"Perry."
"Keep going, but stand by now."
Getting close, Reacher thought. "Houston? Are we going to take Houston Street?" Then he thought, "Stand by now. That's a military term. But is it exclusively military? Is this guy ex-military too or not? Is he a civilian? A wannabe?"
"Morton Street."
"Left turn in three blocks on Houston."
He knows New York City, Reacher thought. He knows that Houston is three blocks south of Morton, and he knows you say it, Houston, not like the place in Texas.
"Okay," Burke said.
Reacher felt the car slow. It stopped. It waited and inched forward. Then it sprinted to catch the light. Reacher rolled heavily against the rear seat.
"East on Houston now."
"Keep going."
The traffic on Houston was slow. Cobblestones, stop signs, potholes, lights. Reacher paced it out in his head. Washington Street, Greenwich Street, Hudson Street, then Varick, where he had to come up out of the subway for his fruitless morning vigil. The car bounced over patches of front heave and thumped into dips.
"Sixth Avenue next."